WILL AM are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting you to visit the Promenade Gift Shop for unique gift ideas. More information on upcoming events is available online at KrannertCenter.com.
Coming up Sunday afternoon at 5, we hope you'll join us for a live broadcast of Keeping the Faith. Each week, host Steve Shoemaker and his guests explore issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. This week, Steve's guest is Professor Maynard Bridgeford. He's the archivist emeritus at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and they'll discuss his book, Bob Zupke, The Life and Football Legacy of the Illinois Coach. That's Keeping the Faith this Sunday afternoon at 5 here on WILL Radio and online at will.illinois.edu. In sports this afternoon, DePaul plays Northern Iowa today in the opening round of the Paradise Jam basketball tournament in the Virgin Islands. Loyola of Chicago is at Holy Cross tonight, and Northern Illinois hosts Tennessee State. Northwestern hosts Wisconsin in the regular season football finale tomorrow. The rest of Saturday's schedule involving Illinois schools includes Illinois State home against Northern Iowa, Northern Illinois at Ohio, Southern Illinois visiting Southeast Missouri, and Western Illinois hosting South Dakota State. The Illini have the week off. The St. Louis Cardinals are going with a youth movement. They've purchased the contracts of 8 players from minor league affiliates and added them to the 40-man roster. The oldest player on the list is 25. None has played in the major leagues. And the United States falls 3 places to 14th in the FIFA rankings, while European champion Spain regains the number 1 spot from Brazil. The Netherlands and Italy remain 3rd and 4th. The biggest mover in the top 10 was Portugal, which rose 5 places to 5th by twice beating Bosnia-Herzegovina 1-0 to qualify for next year's World Cup. That's sports. It's 2:42. Doctors who serve Medicare patients were looking at sharp reductions in payments come next year, but the House approved a measure yesterday that canceled those planned cuts. In the past, such bills were mostly routine and bipartisan, but as NPR's Julie Robner reports, that wasn't the case yesterday.
Just about everyone agrees that the current system under which Medicare pays doctors is broken. Unless Congress acts, doctors will see their Medicare payments drop by 21% beginning January 1st. California Democrat Henry Waxman says that can't be allowed to stand.
Medicare's ability to guarantee health care for seniors would be eliminated if these cuts went into effect.
And Michigan Republican Dave Camp said he sent a letter to the American Medical Association, signed by all his fellow Republicans on the Ways and Means Committee.
And in that letter, we make a couple of points. One is that we support fixing the physician payment formula in a long-term way.
But at the same time, Camp adds,
doctors should not ask us to sacrifice our children's future by adding more than $200 billion to the debt.
And whether to add those billions to the federal deficit was at least on the surface what yesterday's fight was about. Republicans claimed they didn't want to vote for the bill because the $210 billion cost wasn't paid for. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer admitted as much, but pointed out Republicans did the same thing to cancel previous Medicare doctor pay cuts when they were in charge.
As you added to the deficit every time you fixed it, one year at a time.
But underneath the surface, there was another fight brewing. Texas Republican Joe Barton.
This is nothing more than a repayment to the American Medical Association for endorsing the larger health care bill that was on the floor several weeks ago.
Majority Leader Hoyer was quick to deny any quid pro quo.
This is not a question of payoff to anybody. This was in the president's budget. It was in our budget. We said we were going to do this. Why? Because it's the right thing to do.
Still, getting the AMA's endorsement for their health overhaul bill was a coup for the Democrats. That's because the AMA is a traditionally Republican-leaning group, as well as one that's respected by the public. That's left Republicans still smarting. But Democratic leaders in both the House and Senate fear that if the doctors don't get their pay cut restored, the AMA's endorsement of the health bill may not stand. AMA officials haven't said that, but they've been very firm in their determination to get the Medicare cut reversed. Rebecca Patchen is the organization's board chair.
It's time. Congress cannot continue to put Band-Aids on the problem, and it's time for a permanent fix or permanent action from Congress to stabilize the security of Medicare for seniors.
Meanwhile, in an effort to stabilize relationships within their own party, House Democrats added to the doctor fee bill that's not paid for language that would require that most future legislation will have to be offset by other spending cuts or increases in taxes. And what of the Republicans who didn't pay for previous Medicare fixes but want to now? House Minority Whip Eric Cantor was ready with an answer.
Listen, we were also fired by the voters in 06 and essentially fired in 08. I think we've learned our lesson.
In the end, the bill passed on a nearly straight party line vote, but its prospects in the Senate are bleak. A similar bill failed an early test vote last month. The health overhaul bill now pending in that chamber would cancel the pay cut for a single year, 2010, but it's unlikely to be enacted before the cuts take effect in January. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
Two rivers in central Michigan were polluted with dioxin 30 years ago. The dioxin came from a Dow chemical plant. The toxin's been found in fish, animals, and dirt. But of all those, contaminated soil might be the touchiest subject. A study done in the area suggests dioxin in soil might not be getting into people. In the final part of his series on Dow Chemical and dioxin, Sean Ali looks at that study and the government's take on it.
To understand what's at stake over the science of dioxin in soil, I want to talk with Marsha Woodman. Woodman and I talk in this big three-season room with tons of windows. It's kind of like you're outside in some woods.
I love it, so it wasn't hard to convince me to move here.
From here, the trees look inviting, but Woodman says she only lets her kids enjoy them from a distance.
They're not allowed to play back in the woods anymore, and they used to play, and we used to take walks back there.
You see, 8 years ago, the state tested soil for dioxin, and her place was okay, but there were high levels in the neighborhood. So Woodman worried dioxin might move from soil into her kids, and maybe they'd get cancer or some other disease. But what if dioxin in soil is not getting into people nearby?
We found virtually no relationship between soil contamination and blood dioxin levels. In other words, the amount of soil contamination on your property really didn't relate to blood levels.
This is Dr. David Garibrandt. He researches public health at the University of Michigan. Now, we need to tell you, in the interest of full disclosure, the Environment Report is produced at the University of Michigan. Dr. Garibrandt looked at whether people in the contaminated region have higher dioxin levels in their blood. They do, but just slightly. And those higher dioxin levels, they're probably from other factors, like living in that area when dioxin pollution was highest, decades ago. Again, for him, soil is less of an issue. This conclusion bothers two groups of people that really matter. That would be the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the state of Michigan. The EPA would not provide an interview on this, but they have public documents about it. Michigan has the same reservations about the study. Here's just one.
He didn't test children. Children typically have some of the highest exposures.
This is Steve Chester. He heads Michigan's Department of Environmental Quality.
It's probably even more of a concern for children who tend to get down there in the dirt and get it on their hands and their shoes and so forth.
Chester says the state needs to create regulations that take risk to kids into account. So that makes Dr. Garibrandt's study a bit beside the point. Dr. Garibrandt says he wanted to get kids into a study, but you have to draw lots of blood.
You can't ethically take enough blood from a child to find the dioxins, and that's a real dilemma.
Garibrandt says his study went as far as it could. For some people, there's a different problem with this research.
The study is funded by the Dow Chemical Company through an unrestricted grant to the University of Michigan.
That would be Dow Chemical, the company that polluted the Tittabawassee River and floodplain decades ago. Soon, Dow might have to spend tens or maybe hundreds of millions of dollars to clean up contaminated river silt and soil. Still, Garibrandt insists Dow has no influence.
The only thing we give Dow is when they sit in the audience at meetings like the rest of the public, and they hear what we have to say.
Garibrand's study on dioxin exposure is getting attention right when the U.S. EPA is taking another look at the risk that dioxin poses to people. Critics of the study worry it will stir up a whole new debate that could delay dioxin cleanups in Michigan and other toxic waste sites across the country. The EPA insists it's not going to let that happen, and it will soon have more science to back up its position. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.
As Congress begins debate on climate change legislation, American businesses are watching very closely. Some are worried that a new law could bankrupt them with energy costs. Others see a bright future under carbon limits. Julie Grant reports.
To understand what's at stake over the science of...
Jeff Homestead is an environmental attorney and has been working on clean air issues for two decades now. He led the air division of the Environmental Protection Agency under the Bush administration and has worked on some of the most significant environmental regulations in the nation's history. He says the current climate change bill is the biggest thing he's seen.
It's a big deal, much bigger than really any other environmental legislation or regulation that people have had to deal with in the past.
Olmsted says the stakes are just so high. He says the costs could reach into the hundreds of billions of dollars for American businesses.
There's just also enormous amounts of uncertainty as to how we would fundamentally change our society, which has really grown up largely using fossil fuels, and whether we can truly switch away from that in the kind of time frame that people are talking about.
But a shift away from fossil fuels isn't scaring off everybody. Some businesses are actually lobbying for climate change legislation.
Climate change is real.
But solving it is a real opportunity.
This commercial is not made by a bunch of tree huggers, liberals, or Al Gore. It stars the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce and corporate CEOs from Deere & Company and Eaton Corporation. Eaton makes everything from circuit breakers to hoses to hybrid trucks.
Yeah, Eaton is a power management company that, you know, sales about $15 billion and 70,000 employees worldwide.
That's Joe Wolfsberger. He's in charge of environmental programs at Eaton. The company wants Congress to approve climate change legislation and to limit greenhouse gas emissions. Wolfsberger says it could be a great kickstart for the economy and help create jobs.
But we also see a very big opportunity for Eaton and other companies, especially in this power management area where, you know, we'll be able to provide solutions for people to help reduce their greenhouse gas emissions going forward, to help reduce the amount of fuel they consume on the road as part of their operations.
The company has already created new hybrid transmissions for delivery trucks. They're used in a lot of UPS, FedEx, and Walmart trucks. Wolfsberger says it improves gas mileage 50 to 70%. Wolfsberger says a lot of companies are still questioning whether climate change is real. He says Eaton CEO Alexander Cutler gets asked about that a lot.
His response to him was that, you know, it doesn't really matter if the data is good or not. It doesn't really matter if it's a normal climatic cycle. You know, the question is, if you as a company can do better, you should do better.
But that may be easy to say when your company will benefit from climate change legislation. It's a lot tougher when your business is producing natural gas or making steel and depends on heavy use of fossil fuels. Environmental attorney Jeff Homestead says the price of reducing greenhouse gases is going to be a lot higher for these types of companies if a bill passes. He says that's what the debate is all about.
Should we be spending, you know, $100 billion a year? Should we be spending $1 trillion a year? I think most people believe we could significantly reduce our CO2 emissions. It's just a question of how much we're willing to pay and also what we get for that.
And this is what Congress will be debating in the coming months, whether the possibility of higher energy bills is worth the chance to have a more stable climate and more energy independence. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the Park Foundation and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. You can hear the report and subscribe to the daily podcast at environmentreport.org.
In Iowa City tonight, the state football game championship features the City High Little Hawks and the Marshalltown High Bobcats. Some of the biggest fans of the Little Hawks will be cheering from 7,000 miles away. Alex Hoyer of Iowa Public Radio reports on how one soldier's email to a high school football coach started an unusual long-distance relationship.
It's a chilly, drizzly evening under bright stadium lights at City High's football field. The Little Hawks in white and red practice jerseys are running through plays for tonight's championship game. Head coach Dan Sabers is working with the defense.
You've got to explode up and get back. All right.
It was at a practice about a month ago when Coach Sabers read an email to his team from someone who attended City High nearly 30 years ago. That email was from Command Sergeant Major Breck Zeiser, who's now serving with the 7th Special Forces Group stationed at Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. The Army soldier told how the team's success boosted his morale. Starting center Matt Tweet says that email surprised him.
It's inspirational to us, just to hear how much someone over in Afghanistan just cares and just wants us to do well and succeed.
But it's not just Zeiser who wants the Little Hawks to win. Dozens of troops at Bagram Air Base are rooting for the team. Zeiser attributes their interest to his enthusiasm for high school football.
Everybody I work with either played high school football or was somehow associated with a high school sport, so it made it pretty easy conversation that everybody could identify with, other than, it's something we all had in common besides being soldiers.
Zeiser says talking about high school sports often leads to discussions about hometowns and family. And in a dangerous, high-stress environment such as Afghanistan, he says those conversations are important. Zeiser says one of last year's biggest military missions in Afghanistan was dubbed Operation Little Hawk to honor the team. Little Hawk players and coaches are trying to reciprocate the attention. At a recent practice, the players gathered for a group photo and held up jersey number 7, which stands for the 7th Special Forces Group. That photo, along with the Iowa High School playoff bracket, hangs right outside the operations center at the base. The City High Little Hawks are 13-0 and will square off against the undefeated Marshalltown Bobcats. Little Hawk offensive lineman Brandon Kidwell says he's motivated by all the attention.
I think it's just crazy and amazing the fact that someone who's saving our freedom, who I really look up to, would actually look up to us for inspiration when we're just doing what we love to do.
Coach Dan Sabers agrees.
When you look at what they do compared to we do, it just doesn't seem to be that they should be getting some motivation from us. But, we certainly take that as an honor.
Command Sergeant Major Zeiser says while the Bobcats are a good team, he's predicting a double-digit Little Hawk victory tonight.
28-14, City High.
No! Good. All right, over here.
Back on the practice field, Coach Saber says he wants to be able to send a new photo to Zeiser and his troops. This one would show the team holding a sign that reads, Mission Accomplished, cementing a special relationship between those on the football field and those on the battlefield. For NPR News, I'm Alex Hoyer.
Earth and Sky.
Restoration is dead. And what I mean by that is that humans are so integrated within rivers now that you really can't separate the natural signal from the human signal anymore. We will never restore our rivers.